and where for senior care with assisted living and memory care professionals Denise and Richard from Serenity Assisted Living and Serenity Memory Care in Dilworth.
When and where for senior care? Well, hey there, Denise and Richard. How's everything going at Serenity these days?
This is pretty exciting. We're going remote from Serenity this time.
Oh, and you sound great, too. Also, I understand, too, Denise, you got a new hairdo. Does it feel good? You're shedding the COVID spring, and now you got a new look?
I got a new blonde summer hairdo. We got visitors at Serenity for the first time last week. Life is good.
How were the visitor interactions? How do you guys go about that at Serenity?
So in Minnesota, they have to be supervised and you have to follow certain guidelines, you know, with sanitation, symptom screening, and that kind of stuff. And they need to be outside, but really good. I mean, our weather last week has been awesome. Today is sunny and shining. So we have a lot of happy campers around
That's
our
good.
Walls. Yeah.
I imagine it must be extremely emotional.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. To be able to see some of the families, like, they're almost in tears just being able to see them, not through a window or through the window screen, but to be able to see them, and they can't hug and embrace yet, but just that much closer to be able to kind of feel more, quote-unquote, normal of visiting with them. And it's really encouraging for the spirits of not only the people that live here, but also for the wonderful team members that we have working here.
Absolutely. Really lifts everyone's spirits. The sun is out and we're seeing our loved ones again and our hair is done. We love all those things. I really love this three-part series we're going to start with you guys about having a loved one with memory loss. I'm going to guess, Denise and Richard, that you have some experience with this in helping people through this journey.
Yeah, I mean, so it's different from our perspective than it is for our guests today. Like, we're helping families with loved ones with memory loss, but we don't physically have, like, a direct, like, parent with it. And I think that's completely different because your role just flips when you kind of get the diagnosis and all of a sudden you're a parent's caregiver, more so than just a general aging parent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get to know our guests. I'm excited to hear from them. We're starting a three-part series with Marissa and Lana. Marissa Willits and Lana Whiting. These two ladies have mothers with Alzheimer's, and sharing their personal experiences with their journey is what we're going to be doing. Lana and Marissa, how did you both meet?
This is Marissa, and we met through Facebook. Lana had posted kind of a general post about raising money for Alzheimer's, and this was two Junes ago, or I guess just one June ago, not this most recent June, but the June before, and because the Alzheimer's Association does a annual fundraiser on the longest, or on June 21st, which is the longest day, and we just connected, and then I joined a online support group on Facebook that she started for children of parents with early onset Alzheimer's. And then we just continued to grow our relationship that way. And then eventually started meeting in person and, you know, tackling fundraising together and writing together and doing other things.
Lana, it must have been incredibly important for you to find other people who can understand the day-to-day of having a parent who has Alzheimer's. And so putting that group together must have been cathartic to know that other people can share the same struggle.
Yeah, and I think Marissa and I are both in a unique situation because our moms were diagnosed relatively young. And so that makes the dynamic a little bit different as well. My mother was diagnosed at age 61 in 2013. And right after that, that's when I started this Facebook support group and didn't actually meet Marissa until much later than that. But the thing about the support group is that it's people from all over the country and all over the world, and to find somebody actually in the area that is going through this journey with Alzheimer's at a younger age than is usually expected was really a wonderfully cathartic situation. And it just so happens that Marissa and I get along really well too, and we've really kind of forged a really great friendship with it, and
like Marissa said, we actually both own small businesses and get to work together too.
Well, I love that. Marissa, how long ago did you notice the signs of memory loss with your mom, and what kinds of things did you notice?
So my mom got diagnosed when she was really young. She was 52 when she got her formal diagnosis, but we started seeing signs probably way before that. I remember being in high school, and my sister probably remembers this too, but she would need, you know, we'd be having a family gathering or something like that, and we would need something from the grocery store, and she'd say, okay, I'm going to go to the grocery store, and I'm going to get milk, lettuce, and cranberries. And then she would come back and she would not have gotten all three of those things. And so it was just little stuff like that. And in the very beginning, we would kind of joke, you know, and we thought that it was just associated with menopause, because that's a lot of times menopause has a symptom of short-term memory loss or something. And then it got to the point where my dad, you know, I went to college, and then my dad noticed that my mom would come up to him and ask him a question, and he was like, sweetie, you just mentioned this to me, you know, like 30 minutes ago. And she was like, oh yeah, you know. And so we saw that very early, so that was in her late 40s, and then she got a formal diagnosis when she was 52.
I think it's so easy for all of us to say, oh, we're just forgetful sometimes. For sure. Lana, I guess, what's the story for you? How long ago did you notice, and what kind of things did you notice?
Well, I started to notice some behavioral things with my mom probably in her late 50s. And again, she was diagnosed at 61. So there were a few years there where the family was really questioning things. But she didn't have any memory issues. She remembered birthdays. Her memory was perfectly intact. For her, it was more problem solving. One of the first things that kind of struck with me was she had bought a new alarm clock for her bedroom, a digital alarm clock that, you know, to anybody you wouldn't even really need to read the instructions to learn how to set the alarm for the morning. But mom had such a hard time figuring out how to set the time, and she got so confused trying to follow the steps that she couldn't even tell me what time she wanted to set the clock for. And it became really incredibly frustrating because, you know, we had no idea, you know, how severe her brain deterioration had been by that point. So really it was just this kind of frustrating experience with mom, and it all had to do with problem solving and following directions, and not necessarily the typical symptoms that or signs that we see, like getting lost in familiar places. You know, she wasn't doing that sort of thing at all. It really had to come down to, you know, her executive functioning, problem solving, and making decisions too. We'd go out for lunch and she wouldn't really know how to place an order. She'd say, oh, just order for me, you know what I'd like.
You know, Lana, was there a particular moment that made you worry more than you did before?
Yes. And this was, of course, it's a really long story, but she had a daycare in her home for 37 years. And one day she called me while I was at work, and she said, Lana, I don't know how to mix the baby bottles. I'm going crazy. And I thought, oh, she is going crazy. You know, what's going on? So we ended up putting her in a psychiatric unit to see what was really going on. And that's when they ran through some tests and did a cognitive assessment on her, and said immediately that she has dementia.
Wow.
My gosh.
And, you know, of course, that's when hindsight becomes 20/20, and things that were just kind of pushed off become all the more prevalent. Marissa, was there a moment for you in your relationship with your mom that you can pinpoint?
No, and, you know, like I said, I was at school. I was a freshman in college when my mom got diagnosed, and so I don't have, like, this clear memory, but I remember distinctly that my dad was using the fact that my mom would come to him 30 minutes later and say, the same thing that she had said before. As, you know, he was like, you know, I think we need to go get you checked out. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor basically said the same thing that Lana's doctor did. They went to a primary care physician, though. They didn't go to, like, a psych specialist or anything. And they made the same diagnosis, basically. And it was so bad that my mom was forced to resign from her position. She had to go on Social Security and, like, had to leave work. And I know that was super humiliating for her. She was very ashamed of that. And that was a really hard thing for her to do. And to go, she loved work. That's what she wanted to do. She was the nurse manager of fifth floor at Trinity Hospital in Minot. And I remember, like, helping her with time cards in the living room. And she went from, like, working there every day to not doing anything. And that was very, very hard for her. So we didn't have, like, a specific, like, the baby bottle incident. But it was, like, my dad just kind of said, I think we need to go get checked out. And they did. And then it was, like, night and day difference between one day and the next.
Yeah. Is there a memory you have that you felt it was time to make some adjustments with your relationship with your mom, like taking over more of a caregiver role or having in-depth conversations about the progression of the disease? I suppose that's the next step and maybe one of the hardest, Marissa.
Yeah. So my mom in particular is a lot different than some other families, which I know is very different than Lana's experience, because my mom was very, like I said, very ashamed of her illness and refused to talk about it with my dad, with her children, with anyone. And so it was very difficult for us as a family to kind of navigate that emotionally, kind of like on our own without including her. And I don't remember, like, you know, I'm not the primary caretaker. My dad is her primary caretaker. And still to this day, 12 or 14 years later, whatever it is, he is still taking care of her at home. And although there wasn't, like, specific memories, I do remember, like, certain periods of the timeline, and I'm sure Lana's familiar with this too, but, like, where, so she had to quit her job, but then she started volunteering. And then it was, like, her memory deteriorated enough that she had to stop volunteering. Then she got in a car accident, and she had to stop driving. And then it was like she could no longer feed herself, and, you know, she couldn't go to the bathroom by herself. And, like, that was, like, on the progression timeline. And then, you know, there's, like, certain symptoms that come up as you go along in this timeline, and they lose the certain things that they're able to do. And so, you know, now my mom can't sit down by herself and is in the stage where she is losing weight rapidly and having trouble swallowing and things like that. So there's, like, I didn't have that specific time where I had to take over caretaking or anything, but I do remember those specific moments on the progression timeline.
Lana, how about you? Was there a memory you have that you felt it was time to make some adjustments with the relationship with your mom?
Yeah, I think, you know, that I became a caregiver the day my mom was diagnosed. And, it became an emergency situation because she had been working all the way up to her diagnosis. And it became a second job. I mean, that sounds like a negative thing because I would never take back my caregiving duties, but it became a second job getting her the care she needed. She progressed really quickly those first 6 months. And so I chose to place my mom in assisted living because she's divorced from my father, and she was single, and I was trying to build my career, and we don't have a lot of family in town, so the dynamics are a little different there. But that first 6 months, it was getting to a lawyer, signing power of attorney papers, making decisions on my mom's behalf on do not resuscitate orders, and all of these kind of legal issues that go along with the diagnosis, particularly when somebody's younger than 65 and they don't have the same benefits that somebody who is 65 and older with Medicare has at their disposal. We went through many, many loopholes with the county to get her assistance to get into assisted living, and what assets she had at the time we had to sell because they wouldn't be able to give her any housing unless she had literally zero money to her name. So there were so many different dynamics, not just from a caregiving perspective, but from a legal perspective as well. So not only is it a caregiving, you know, just one-on-one, making sure the person is healthy, safe, happy, clean, and well cared for, but so many fine print issues that we don't necessarily talk about that come along with the disease. And so not only was there the loving my mom and taking care of her and wanting the best for her, but really kind of taking on her life for her, that became a primary job for me for a really long time.
Well, and now what a gift to have you guys talk about this really tough topic, but to connect with people now over the air and our listeners to talk about this topic. And this will be podcast as well. You guys will get to re-listen to it, but we're going to have you around for another two series on this, and we're going to discuss those tough choices that you're talking about and the progression of this. We're going to discuss placement in a facility versus keeping your loved one at home, and also that ambiguous love and chronic grief and how you both have tackled it and your journey with all of it. And we really appreciate your time, and we really appreciate your sharing, because I know that that isn't always easy either. So we see that. We really thank you, ladies. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Serenity Assisted Living and Memory Care is a family-owned and operated business with Richard Anderson and Denise Tollefson. They've been here with us from Serenity Assisted Living. They're located on Oakview Drive in Dilworth. Let's tell them how to get a hold of you guys.
You can find us on our website at www.serenityassistedliving.com.
Or you can always give us a call at 218-477-7254.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.